Welcome to the NJ Criminal Podcast and part four in this series.
At the end of the day, all you have is your reputation.
That's it.
Right? And at the end of the day, you know, whether you like lawyers or whether you hate lawyers, I think that, as I said a couple minutes ago, you and I have tried to emulate this. Want to help people.
You want to help people. One of the most prominent defense attorneys in our region, again, I'm going to be no names here. I watched try a case one time in state court. His reputation preceded him as being, he was larger than life. He was going up against a very younger female AP on paper, David and Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
I watched this attorney in front of a jury insult, in essence, every witness.
I'm shaking my head. Listeners can't hear.
Correcting their grammar. Embarrassed this AP. Kind of embarrassed the judge because he's the smartest person in the room, meaning the lawyer.
Mm-hmm. And for what?
Most accomplished. And then I watched the jury find his client guilty.
Quickly, I bet.
And I remember thinking to myself, that was the wrong approach. There was no humility in the presentation. Everybody knows who you are. Everybody respects who you are. You should have left the ego somewhere else and just come in and tried the case.
We all put our pants on one leg at a time.
Right? So when I saw that, it taught me a very valuable lesson. And one other story, and then I got stories.
I was going to say, you're going to be a guest host. I'm convinced you're coming back.
One day I'm going to interview you.
All right. Well,
we're going to flip it. We're going to flip it. But one other story that I remember that always made an impression on me as a young lawyer, and I think this is important for lawyers in general. Again, no names, but I will tell you all these names off mic, but I don't want to put anybody's business out there.
I want the royalties for the...
So, at the time, this was a very young, hotshot AP who was just... had a reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Winning motions, was, you know, had like a little bit of like of an edge to him. And for younger lawyers, and I was younger at the time, he was somebody that you feared because he was cagey, loud, all of that. There was an older, and I told this story recently to the older lawyer's son, because the older lawyer is in declining health, et cetera, no longer practicing. Older lawyer who had seen his best days a while ago. Come to court, disheveled, tie was never tied, forgot to shave this part of his face. He didn't make the greatest presentation. And this young prosecutor, I don't believe had his first big trial yet. He was getting ready to have a trial against this older lawyer. Okay.
And safe to say, probably didn't have the benefit of seeing the older attorney in his prime.
Absolutely not.
So there was no respect.
There was no respect. And I think this lawyer, quite honestly, a lot of his peers had moved on. There wasn't a lot of people that were aware of his reputation, etc. I was, because I grew up in the neighborhood where he raised his family. So I knew who he was. I knew the stories from when I was a kid. This guy was a hell of a lawyer. He was older now. Maybe lost his fastball. So now this young lawyer is going to devour him and show everybody what a big shot he is. And he's going to cement his legacy as We can curse here?
Sure.
Don't fuck with me.
Right.
Like, because I'm gonna try this case, and I'm going to destroy you, and now anybody else that's watching, don't fuck with me.
Gonna know I am the man.
I'm the guy. Now, other people would say, you're picking on, you should pick on somebody your own size. Pick on Joe Levin, who's a young, you know, go try your case against him.
Right.
He picked this guy.
Easy target.
Easy target. You see the guy, the lawyer, they're doing their trial. He's talking to people about what he's going to eat for lunch. It's almost like he's not even tuned in. So the other lawyer, the prosecutor, gives this amazing opening, amazing closing, packed. All the prosecutors, they're rooting their guy on. All the defense lawyers want to see how good this guy is, because we're all afraid of him at the time. A couple people there rooting for the old guy, but not many, because his
they're all gone.
They're all gone. So he gets up, and his closing argument was something like this. And I just, it's so simple and so brilliant. He stands up and he walks over. He's got no paper, nothing. And he says, I like baseball. And right away, the prosecutor's like, oh, here we go.
Rolling his, trying not to roll his eyes in front of the jury. Right.
Like, mm-hmm. This old guy is going to get up there and tell some
stocks closing
story. Right. So he says, I like baseball. Baseball's the greatest game. Does this whole big thing. He said, you know, you get a ball and you hit it with that bat. And you hit a home run and everybody goes crazy. He said, prosecutor, hit a home run. He hit a home run on this case. Ball went right over the center field fence. Everybody's cheering. Fireworks are going on. He hit a home run. But the run doesn't count unless you touch every base when you run around the bases. So you can hit this amazing ball. Place could go nuts. You could win the game. But if you forget to touch second base, it doesn't count. He didn't touch all the bases. You're going to hear from the judge what the law is. He missed this and this. So as beautiful as it was, and it was beautiful. So, oh my God, it sounded amazing. Doesn't count because he didn't touch second base.
Wow.
That's all I got.
Wow.
Doesn't say two words about the facts, nothing. He uses that analogy.
Wow.
Sits down.
But now the prosecutor's.
Me as a young lawyer, I'm saying that was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
That was brilliant
mm-hmm.
because he probably lost the case on the facts, but he completely shifted it. Is now going to put the focus on what he didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So they get done, and they're waiting for the jury. And I'm doing my cases in other courtrooms, banging
around. Keep popping in.
Popping in, popping out. And they're talking. And the young lawyer's got his people. Verdict comes in not too long, an hour, 2 hours. It's going to be guilty.
Mm-hmm.
This guy sits in his chair. Not guilty.
Wow.
The older lawyer gets over to him, shakes his hand. Hey, you did a hell of a job. You should have won that case. You did a hell of a job. I got lucky. They pack up and they leave.
Modesty.
I'm hanging around. I said, that closing argument.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, hey. He said, don't ever forget this. Baseball players get old and can't play baseball anymore. Lawyers can get old and still be effective and still be lawyers. And I remembered that lesson. What he did was he did not make an impressive presentation, but he came in and separated everything, narrowed the issue down to what he didn't do. And they acquitted his client because of it. So all the theatrics, all the pomp and circumstance.
Doesn't matter at the end of the day.
Doesn't matter if you don't touch all the bases. But the real lesson that I learned.
Do you use this closing?
What's that?
Do you use this closing?
I've used references to it.
Yeah, no, seriously. It's
the main thing that I got from it was his humility.
And that's the takeaway.
He knew the other guy was disrespectful. He knew the other guy was looking to embarrass him. And he was a gentleman anyway. So at the end of the day, I think that for younger lawyers, older lawyers, number one, in New Jersey, we're very fortunate that it's adversarial, but it's not Philadelphia adversarial.
Correct.
It's not, I'm going to call you names or we're going to go fight. It doesn't happen. If somebody came up to you, if a prosecutor came up to you and used that language with you and you reported it, that person would be tarred and feathered. You'd never hear of them ever again. Philadelphia, that was just the way it was.
Yeah, it's just the way it was, right.
You might get a judge calling you that.
Well, maybe I have now. No. But at the end of the day, I mean, you're absolutely right. It's being yourself. It's being humble. It's leaving the ego at the door. It's counseling your client. But, you know, you don't, as we said, learn that in law school. You learn, it takes a few years to get to that point.
And I remember, you know, just different things that I've seen and different things that I picked up. And if there ever was a time where I was, I don't want to say disrespectful because I can't remember ever being disrespectful, but if I ever was curt, let's say, it never served me well. I never got what I wanted by ever being like that. And by the way, that's not my normal
demeanor. Well, you are yourself.
Right. But you're having a bad day. You take it out on somebody and you're not going to get what you're looking for. You're going to actually, it's going to go the other way. It's going to go the other way.
Words of wisdom.
So, you know, I think that a friendly smile, kind words, and we're here to solve this problem. You're on that side. I'm on this side. Let's put our heads together. Let's solve the problem. Sometimes you have to do that by way of a trial.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that the trial has to be nasty. Be respectful to your adversary. Always be respectful to the court.
Always.
You know, always. Always be respectful to the court.
Always.
But at the end of the day, in that moment, when you get to speak to the jury, you can express yourself and let them know your dissatisfaction with what's happened, mm-hmm. respectfully. Okay. Be loud, aggressive, respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be an advocate without being a pushover, but you could do it in a way like that, you know.
And tell your story, as your older friend did, in a way that makes your point very succinctly. And you've done that how many times before, Jerry?
Not as many as him. You know what? I'm gonna say his name.
Tell me, yeah.
Ed Cosmore.
Okay.
Ed Cosmore was the defense attorney. Up there, excuse me, up there in years. Declining health now, but when I told that story to his son, he was very happy to hear it.
Because yeah, at the end of the day, all we have is our character.
Right. Well, here, that story is on record somewhere, so they can find it. They can find it because it's out in the universe now. But just you look at that. There's other older attorneys that you see them and they know a lot more than you and I do.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Don't discount that.
There's probably a lot that they've seen that, you know, they take with them in their experiences. And it's definitely important to keep that in mind. And, you know, as I said, you know, you and I have interacted with a lot of attorneys. I can say I've probably interacted with a lot of older attorneys that are a lot smarter than me. But at the end of the day, what you take from them is how they treated you, and those attorneys that have treated me in a way that I felt was respectful, it stays with you. And
always.
And it's, you always want to treat people the way you'd want to be treated.
Always. And, you know, when you look back at, you know, when you're around an older attorney that's seasoned, I do more listening than I do talking because there are going to be things that you're going to learn from them. You're going to, you know, hear stories or you're going to pick up something. We talked about Judge Garofalo earlier. I was blessed when I was younger here in Atlanta County.
You know, my first jury trial was before Judge Garofalo.
He would be on a Mount Rushmore of judges for me, Judge Garofalo. Always fair. Predictable, because he always did the right thing. So if you go in there, my guy's never going to win this bail motion. Yeah, you're not going to win the bail motion because you're not supposed to.
Right.
My guy should get out here. Mm-hmm. He's getting out because Judge Garofalo always did the right thing. Always. You could set your watch to it. He was predictable because he always did the right thing. But here's
called him as he saw him.
But here's a guy, when he called me into his chambers to gently tell me, back to that story, that wasn't nice what you said about the judge in Salem County. You shouldn't do that. I was petrified that the little judge community was going to, all of a sudden, I was no good. I said, Judge, I got a little, I know, you're not even 30 years old.
Right.
You got a little carried away, but you want to, maybe I was 30, 32, but you want to tone that down. Never did that again. Right. Listen to the judge. Judge Donio, Mount Rushmore, he's up there, right? At that time, you had Judge Michael Connor, who at that time was somebody that I learned the significance of what would ultimately become drug court from him. He was an advocate for those types of defendants before there was mechanisms to help them. He would help them. He was a trailblazer, certainly here in Atlanta County.
100%.
Judge Isman, who, what I learned from him is he could do what he did and be stern, but always had a sense of humor. He just always had a good sense of humor. And then you get someone like Judge DeLore, who we have to this day. He's our presiding judge, who comes in, the consummate gentleman, the consummate gentleman. Tell you what, though, you start to see his face getting flush. It can switch.
Right.
But what are his rules? Don't be disrespectful. Don't do this. Like, the rules are very simple.
Yeah, they're very basic.
And so, you know, and now you look at guys like Joe Levin. Joe Levin, one of my dearest friends, who is a Superior Court judge now. Pam Darcy, tremendous respect for her when she was a prosecutor. Superior Court judge now. And, you know, it goes on and on and on. And then you get other people that you say to yourself, you know, how the hell did they make this person? They don't have the proper temperament, right? They get, you know, they're out there to do this or do that. But good judges are good for the development of young lawyers.
Young attorneys, right? Without a doubt.
And here in Atlantic, I will say that we've always been blessed. Even going back to Cape May, when you and I reconnected in Cape May,
right.
Judge Alvarez, great. Mm-hmm. Judge Batten, different judges than the ones that we had in Atlantic, so you had to adjust. But I was used to coming from Camden, where you had judges like Judge Natal. They were, you know, Judge Baxter.
Well, and again, as I said, not like getting yelled at in Philadelphia.
Right. You're never going to find those.
No.
Judge McCaffrey, you know, you haven't met that. Judge Donio is a variation of that, but much more tempered than Judge McCaffrey, you know. But listen.
The stories are endless. And, you know, I know that you've got dozens of war stories that I would love to have you come back on the show and share with us, because I think they're important. I think they're important, you know, to younger attorneys to hear them. And they're fun to listen to.
And listen, and I appreciate that. And yes, I do have dozens, probably hundreds of war stories.
I would say at least hundreds.
But I like telling other people's war stories, because sometimes they don't ever get told. Like that Ed Cosmore story is never going to get told.
Right.
But that's an amazing story.
For so many reasons.
Right. It needs to live somewhere so that some other person can hear it and tell it to other people and other people. And somebody could bump into his son and say, I was listening to a podcast And they were talking about your father. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
My father hasn't been. There's a podcast. Here it is. Go listen to it. You got to hear this. So I will always tell positive stories about people. Any of the negative ones, I left the names out. I don't want to be that guy.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to be that guy. But there are lessons in those as well. Mm-hmm. But humility, helping people, being a good person, all of that. But
and I think the true stories are always better than any kind of fictional story you could watch or listen to.
100%. And, you know, you watch and you see, you know, that as it's unfolding. That could be a movie for somebody. An old lawyer, he's got to win one more big case. The young, and it happens. And there's lessons on both sides. The lesson is, do you learn the lesson? Or do you continue hard charging and, you know, so... And after that, a little bit more of a pep in Mr. Cosmore's step after that. Because, and he's always going to be Mr. Cosmore to me because I grew up in the neighborhood and he was Mr. Cosmore. But a little bit more of a pep in his step. You know, he got a, I think he got a little younger.
He got a little kick out of it.
Got a little younger after. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because, you know, and.
Well, and he sounds like he put that assistant prosecutor in their place in a way that only he could have done it, 100%. A gentlemanly way.
In a gentlemanly way. I do want to close on this, right? Because I could talk here until midnight. You got to go home and do other things too, as do I.
We'll have you come back.
But I do think that you creating this platform, you creating this medium to have stories that are out there about lawyers, about the law, about cases, about whatever. Yes, there will be people that will be interested in them, but if there's something that you can put in one where the listeners can listen and take something away from it, right? So if the takeaway is, wow, that was a great story about those four women in Atlantic City, but yeah, that was great. Oh, the river man, that was great. But then it got into this whole other story about humility and what you're supposed to be doing as a lawyer. So I think that it's amazing that you could have people like me tell their story, but most importantly, maybe tell stories of people that aren't here to tell their stories. And Ed Cosmore, he's still here, but that's an amazing story. And I would hope that there's at least one person, prosecutor or defense lawyer, that uses that baseball analogy, because I don't know that I've ever heard one more succinct and better for beyond a reasonable doubt, all the elements of the crimes. It works. Everybody knows baseball.
Everybody knows baseball. And it's something that the jurors can relate to. And, you know, lawyers don't have to be smarty pants.
We're not reinventing the wheel.
Right, exactly.
You and I both know lawyers that quote Thomas Jefferson. I don't know. I don't read Thomas Jefferson. I don't know what he said. You're never going to hear me say, well, that's a quote from the great. No, I'm just going to get up there and talk. And the jurors don't want to see how smart you are. They want you to communicate with them. So, but.
It's like when my former chief, Jim Herlihy, killed a fly on his head and then stomped on it as it fell to the ground. And the jurors cheered. The defense attorney in that case just looked and shook his head because, you know, Jim was the consummate everyman, and to be able to connect to a juror is what it's all about.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, we're all people.
Right. And they're people too. And at the end
we're
of the day,
we're just people that want to try to help people and
they don't
fix their problems.
They don't want to think that you're talking down to them because you're some smart lawyer and they're not. That's if you're approaching it like that, you've already lost that juror. They're not going to go for your guy if you're condescending and you're better than them.
Right.
So, which by the way, even the judge, nobody's better than any. We're just all in the room doing different jobs at the end of the day. Right. But you have to respect that judge. But why would I give that judge any more respect than juror number 9? We're all people.
We're all people.
So you don't, yes, your honor, and then say something that would offend that person. You treat that person like you would treat the judge, like you would treat the sheriff, like you would treat the court reporter, like you would treat the clerk. We're all people at the end of the day. The woman that cleans the bathroom in the courthouse. Everybody's just doing their jobs. They're all different jobs, but
And like my good friend Melissa Rosenblum always says, just be nice. Just be nice.
Just be nice. Right?
Come back again.
We'll do part. So I think you break this down into parts. Wait, you just did a six-parter.
We just definitely did a six-parter.
You think this is a six-parter?
Yeah, I do.
You think we trumped the other six-parter?
I just did a six-parter. Maybe we could make this a 10-parter. I don't know.
So this was a good one. You can chop it up. You can go with it. And we'll come on and I'll do more rambles.
I want more stories from the world of Jim Leonard.
Don't forget to subscribe and like the show on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you listen.